This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Ecker.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
Jasmine is the news director of News 3 at Western Illinois University, and Will is the director of student publications at Western. I mention that because we've had some teachable moments regarding defamation cases that have been back in the news in recent weeks. One concerns an ABC News report on finely textured beef, which the report referred to as pink slime. The maker of the stuff, Beef Products Incorporated, or BPI, objected to the report and the way ABC portrayed its product, and it sued ABC for more than $1 billion. It was announced during the final week of June that the two sides settled out of court. Terms of the agreement are being kept quiet. And, of course, also you might remember, you might recall the defamation case against Rolling Stone magazine for its story titled A Rape on Campus. The campus in question was the University of Virginia. The story proved to be false, and it was announced in mid-June that the magazine agreed to pay the university more than $1.5 million to settle that defamation suit. So I'm wondering what the two of you think. As reporters and editors, what do we have to do to avoid getting entangled in costly litigation for defamation?
I think it's important to remind our students that words matter, and how you write something, the words that you pick can be detrimental to potentially you or your company, your credibility as a reporter. It's important to note that ABC stands by its reporting. They have not admitted any wrongdoing, that they settled out of court, so it wouldn't go further in litigation, potentially losing the case. That's a possibility that they did not want to face. But it's also important to remember that no matter what a reporter may no matter what a reporter may do, they may still find themselves facing a lawsuit regardless of whether you were very careful or not. Mm-hmm. What's important is how the reporter builds their story. So they really need to take into account that they should have people, someone to rely on to look over their work. And in Rolling Stone's case, something that was a big problem was that the fact checker that was supposed to be going through the story didn't do their job, and neither did the reporter and the editor. They didn't check on each other's work. So what ended up happening with the Rolling Stone case is they relied really solely on that one source who was named Jackie, the alleged victim of that mm-hmm. rape. And they didn't go and they didn't talk to people that there were allegations about. And because they didn't do that, they didn't discover that a lot of these things that Jackie had told them didn't happen.
Yeah, this was very sloppy reporting in the Rolling Stone case. They certainly didn't do their due diligence. One of the lessons, or one of the cautionary tales, and something that I often bring up to my students, is talking about attributing accusations from some source that gave you them does not necessarily protect you from that. You may be passing along libel as well, and that has to be verified and fact checked as well. Otherwise, if you just rest with that, you're going to go down in the same ship and be in the same boat with these folks. So this was some gross negligence as far as reporting being very sloppy. But here again, this falls back on this issue about, well, we just don't have the help that we used to have. We don't have all the bodies in the newsroom that we used to have. It doesn't admonish the sin or excuse the wrongdoings or the oversight that happened here, certainly. But it is, I think, unfortunately, a result of what's happening to our newsrooms. That, again, in the same breath, Rolling Stone should have been far more due diligent and far more responsible in their verification and fact-checking with the facts, where they were obviously a little loose with it. And I think it, again, brings into scrutiny the quality of journalism that this publication produces.
Rolling Stone and ABC are both large news organizations who have editors and fact checkers. I'm kind of worried about what might happen with the future of investigative reporting at smaller news organizations that don't have a bunch of editors and fact checkers who can double check those types of stories before they go on the air. And you're just relying on the fact, you know, the station is just relying on the idea that this reporter did his or her due diligence and has all the information correct. How do we deal with that at the local level with smaller stations and much smaller staffs?
Well, I don't know if anyone's noticed, but you see very few investigative reports nowadays. And it's not just because there isn't time enough in the day to really, you know, allot that time to go and work on this. But it is, I think, a big reason is because I don't think a lot of people can handle those. And they don't have the staffs that they need to work on things like that. So not only do they not have the time to work on those, probably because you're understaffed, but you may not even have the manpower that has the knowledge about how to conduct something like that. So I think we see a lot of local news stations not really relying on investigative reports, whereas maybe even 15, 20 years ago, that was something that they put out there and they said, this is what we're doing. So you're going to see, I think you see still newspapers focusing on that, but you don't see local TV stations doing that as much.
And I think investigative reporting has always kind of distinguished some newspapers to an extent where they can always, depending on your staff and your resources, you could invest that time and energy. And having worked, a larger newspaper where we had investigative reporters, I had done a little as well. But it takes time; it's a time commitment, and frankly, it takes the experienced reporter, a special caliber of reporters. We had a handful of reporters that did nothing but investigative pieces and would be allowed weeks at a time, some stories months, and even on a few occasions one that would be years in the making. I think this is very important because I think it might be as a print person, a longtime print journalist, I think this is a saving grace of newspapers, because I think they, our friends in broadcast do it well, but I always thought that the resources and the experience and the track record of print journalists was that they could always have that time to have space and time to put that expose together and have that explanatory component that you may not have the time to do with broadcast. And I think it's especially integral, regardless of the medium. I think we need this, and when we don't have the time or the resources to do that, journalism suffers, and we're not serving our public as good as we could.
We have about a minute of time left for today. I'm wondering if I can get a quick thought from each of you regarding these cases. Does this have a chilling, these settlements that were announced, these agreements, do they have a chilling effect on journalism? Are they going to discourage further digging and discourage further investigative reporting?
I don't think so, but I do think that people are going to be a lot more careful and be looking over their work a lot more now that we've seen those two different cases.
I agree with Jasmine. I think they should be careful, but I hope that in any way this doesn't inhibit the enterprising reporter that wants to look into something and dig into something. And just I don't want them to feel that they're working in fear of being facing a potentially a crippling, very expensive lawsuit.
Yeah, and again, it's not because they did this investigative report that they were sued. It's because they really were just negligent in how they handled this report. And that was the big problem, was that there were so many issues with their reporting. They just didn't go and research the way they should have.
Yeah, these are cautionary tales about what not to do, and hopefully at least the industry can learn from that.
Okay. Hey, we need to wrap things up for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.